I understand there's a problem with Gage Petrunzi.
Yeah. Besides the behavior problem, he won't do homework, and his test scores are...
I'm not interested in any of that. I'm interested in why, when this school is on the brink of winning its first state championship in 15 years, you slap a crucial member of that team with a failing mark that would force his removal. Is that how you show your school spirit?
You're asking me to change his grade?
And that's from Buffy, and Willow is in a terrible situation where she has to decide whether or not to have the courage to speak her mind and say, you want me to fake reality? I didn't flunk him. He flunked himself. She has to have the courage to speak her own mind. Do you have the courage to speak your own mind? When you hear a coworker say something totally irrational, or maybe you're sitting at a holiday meal and your father says something irrational, or you're listening to the news or a talk radio show and you hear something blatantly evil and you want to speak up, what keeps you from calling in or speaking up to those people or writing a letter to the editor? With me today is a woman. She has learned the skills to speak up for her values, to fight for rational values. She is Lynn Zinser, who is an attorney and vice president of the Ayn Rand Center for Individual Rights, which is a division of the Ayn Rand Institute. And she knows the psychological benefits of acting on your values. She's a prominent, passionate intellectual activist who is helping us all to preserve our freedom. Let's learn from her. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Ellen. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and what is an intellectual activist?
Well, an intellectual activist is one who promotes change in the culture, in the society that they live in, through ideas. In my case, I seek to promote cultural change by promoting rational ideas in the culture.
Okay, so a person can be an intellectual activist, because you can even say the president's an intellectual activist. He's trying to change the culture. But the core of his ideas are?
Not rational.
Not rational.
They are.
Anti-reason, anti-individualist, anti-freedom, anti-capitalist. And so Tell me a little bit about how you describe yourself before you became an activist and now. What did you do to become an activist?
Before, I was an attorney, and I was doing like most people do, making a living, sharing my life with my family and friends, and I was frustrated. I felt I was upset by current events. I felt frustrated that the culture was not as good as and rational as I thought it should be, but I felt intimidated. I thought, there isn't anything I can do. What can one person do? I thought the government was too intrusive in business, for example, and that government regulations overran many businesses. But I felt I could do nothing about it.
So powerless.
Powerless, yes.
Yeah, just standing
and
on the side.
And frustrated.
Yeah. And then what?
In fact, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
And in fact, one of the things is that this never happened with me, but many people I know stop reading the newspaper because they don't want to see. They're tired of reading about things that they feel that they have nothing to do, that they can do nothing about.
So the news, they kind of become ostriches. They stick their head in the sand and they just live their lives as if nothing dangerous is happening outside of their sphere of interest, their personal sphere of interest, when we have a big problem going on. But what does that leave you feeling? I know I did the same thing. I felt numbed. When I started to see what was happening in the government, totally numbed, stunned. And I know too much about socialism and communism and fascism. I've read Atlas Shrugged many times, the book by Ayn Rand, which I recommend to everyone. And I just felt chilled and paralyzed, though. And I didn't know how to get myself moving. It just felt like it was a tsunami coming over me. And I don't know if that sounds like what you're describing, although it doesn't sound like you had as bad a case as I did.
No, I think I did. I felt like there was nothing I could do and that it might be dangerous for me to speak up because I worked in a larger law firm and that it might be, that might not be a good thing for me to do. I also felt, I wouldn't even speak up among my peers about what I thought was wrong with and what should be done.
And what changed?
Well, in 19 or in about 4 years ago, I went to a meeting and learned that our state legislature, I was living in Colorado at the time, had set up a commission to reform state the health care in Colorado towards the Massachusetts style. And all of the commission members, except one, favored this government-run health care. And that made me mad.
Yeah.
I had two friends who were doctors in Colorado, and when I talked with them about it, both of them told me that that would mean they would leave the state. And I didn't want that to happen. Plus, a month earlier, we just had an election in Colorado, and there was a referendum for a constitutional amendment that won by 3% of the vote. And I hadn't really spoken out against it,
yeah.
And no one else had.
Yeah.
And I think it passed simply because there was no real opposition.
So in
that case, in that election, that 3% was about 1,500 voters, which isn't very many.
So that that's that guilt that you can feel. Oh, my God, I wish I had spoken up. It's too late now.
Yes, yes. And so I thought I was not going to let a similar thing happen in Colorado to health care. I would fight.
How did you gain personally, going from a state of feeling powerless and frustrated and angry or mad and just feeling that you're living in a dangerous world, how did you gain personally from fighting?
It was remarkable. First, I gained confidence and pride in myself that I spoke up. And I also gained because the fact that I spoke up, others, I heard and heard from others, and I saw letters to the editor that mirrored my opposition. And I was surprised at that because many times I didn't even know who these people were.
So sometimes it's a catalyst. One person starts it and gives people the words, the voice to speak up on their own, too.
And the courage.
Yeah, the courage to do it. And so psychologically, it changes your whole outlook on the world. You don't feel powerless. You feel empowered. You don't feel frustrated because you still feel frustrated because it's not moving fast enough, but you are doing something, which is wonderful. What advice could you give to somebody who's rational, who's listening, and doesn't have they're frustrated, but they haven't the first idea of where to begin? If you had to give a friend of mine or yours or just some random person that was a real decent person advice, what would you say to them?
Okay, I would say pick one issue that you care about. Learn about it, learn the facts and the details about it, and start speaking up.
Okay.
Speak up with your friends, with your family.
And I think the key point is to speak up, but get the facts first. Just don't go on your gut feelings. Lynn,
yes.
This is wonderful being with you today. What is your website?
It's AynRandCenter.org.
AynRandCenter.org. Okay, and this is Lynn Zintzer from the Ayn Rand Center. Thanks for being with us today, Lynn.
Thank you.
And I want to add one more thing with activism, that think of people in your life that you admire who do speak up and use them as motivation. And it may not be, maybe there's nobody in your immediate family or circle of friends who speaks up. Maybe they're all ostriches too, sticking their head in the sand. But maybe there's a hero in a book you read or heroes in movies. And it could even be a Disney movie. It could be like Rapunzel and Tangled or in Beauty and the Beast. The heroine there is just, Belle is just so wonderful. So use the power of heroes to give yourself a voice and it's discover the joy of speaking up and don't be critical of yourself because you're just learning how to do it. I'm Dr. Ellen Kenner. Be with you again next week on The Rational Basis of Happiness.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologist Dr. Ellen Kenner.
The virtue of being productive makes you more lovable, but this does not mean you have to become a millionaire. Productivity requires having a long-range focus on a career, developing the skills you need to be employable, and earning money. Your career gives you a sense of purpose and the financial ability to trade with others in order to sustain and enrich your life. It gives you a sense of pride in yourself. Don't make the mistake of thinking that you're unlovable unless you have a job or career right now. You You may be going through a tough personal time, be between jobs, or be unemployed by circumstances beyond your control. Or perhaps you're caring for children or elderly family members. If you're making a genuine effort to improve your situation, you may be perfectly lovable and moral.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.